In our series, Kingdom Come, we're looking at the words of Jesus and as he taught us to pray and how they apply to us and how we can apply them to our lives. And our series text from Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13 is what Pastor Benton led us through a moment ago in the Our Father prayer. Jesus said, pray like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Last week we learned that the kingdom is eternal, but not alone. We discovered that his kingdom is accessible to us. Today I want to talk about more about our personal connection with the kingdom of God. Now, we saw that there are three kingdoms clearly identified in Scripture. One is the kingdoms of this earth. That's what we know as our nations today. Second is the domain of darkness, where demonic forces rule and reign. And then third is the kingdom of God. And I talked about these things more specifically last week, so I encourage you to go back and listen to the podcast or watch the video on YouTube or Facebook if you were not able to be here. But we did read a passage of Scripture last week that we're going to read again today, and it becomes the launching point for our new material in this series, and that is in Colossians chapter 1, verse number 13, where the Scripture reads, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us. Everybody say the word transfer. He's transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. So he's telling us that a transition occurs at salvation. There's a transfer from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. We were part of the kingdom of darkness. Now, because Christ is in us and we are in Christ, we are in the kingdom of his dear Son. We're in the kingdom of God. We're in the kingdom of heaven. But here's the reality. You and I have a choice to make. We do not have to live in the kingdom of his dear Son. We do not have to enjoy the privileges of the kingdom of his dear Son. We can come to church every single week and not be in the kingdom of his dear Son. We can come to church and still be under the domain of darkness if we choose to be. Because the big idea today is this. His kingdom is your choice. His kingdom is your choice. You get to choose. I get to choose which kingdom I'm going to live within. Now, if we make the kingdom of God our home, if we choose him, then it gives us certain and unique privileges. Even as we live here on this earth, we have great privileges in a place that we've never been, the kingdom of God. And I have three thoughts for us today. And thought number one is this. The kingdom of heaven is everywhere Jesus is. It's everywhere that Jesus is. It's a key piece of information that we need in order to be able to understand the unique privileges that we have in Christ Jesus. The Pharisees one day were talking to Jesus, and they always were trying to trick him and get him to say things that they could use against him. And so at one point, the Pharisee is asking Jesus, this is Luke chapter number 17. He said, when will the kingdom of God come? When will it show up? And Jesus replied, the kingdom of God can't be detected by visible signs. You won't be able to say, here it is, or it's over there. For the kingdom of God is already among you. Now, there's two things that we learn from this passage. The first is that his kingdom is spiritual in nature. It's not a physical kingdom. You can't say, here it is, or it's over there. You'll never be driving down the highway and see, welcome to the kingdom of God on a sign. You might see God's country on a sign, but it won't be welcome to God's kingdom. Welcome to the kingdom of heaven on a sign. Secondly, his kingdom is everywhere. Everywhere. everywhere he is. It's already among you. He was standing right there with him. He was among them and they did not recognize him. He came into his own and his own received him not. The king was standing in front of them, but they didn't know it. When Christy and I were doing some missions work in Botswana, we had the privilege of receiving an invitation from the president of Botswana at the time to come and attend a reception for President Clinton and Mrs. Hillary Clinton, who were going to be visiting the country. And every expatriate from the United States received an invitation. And I would say the vast majority of us showed up. Because the fact is that no matter what, whether we would vote for him or wouldn't vote for him, the fact is the leader of our country was coming into a foreign nation and we had the opportunity to be there with him and so and honor him. And I was honored to receive that invitation. And so we showed up to the palace, it was also a place, so that kind of still worked. But we showed up there with about 150 other people, and we had the privilege of hearing about 4,000 speeches. And then right after that, we got to just eat food and talk and fellowship with these folks. And so I had the privilege of standing there with President Clinton and shaking his hand and having a few moments of conversation with my president. And I was honored to be able to do that. It was just a real highlight in my life. And it was incredible. But when they were there, the United States of America was there. In fact, it was interesting because when they left, we found out two things. The first thing we found out is the United States had given a lot of money to the Botswanan government to help fight the AIDS epidemic. And the second thing we learned is that while Air Force One was in the airspace of Botswana, none of their military, none of their police officers had any ammunition or artillery for any of their tools of war. The only people on Botswanan soil that were armed effectively were the Secret Service. The United States of America said, while our president is there, we're taking over the situation. And while the Botswanan government, Botswanan people were a little miffed about it, all the Americans were like, yeah. And whether you like it or you don't, the fact is that there was kind of a cool feeling of authority that came along with that. And when you're living in a nation where that's not your primary place of life and it's not where you're from, then it's kind of a neat thing to find yourself exerting, your homeland is exerting some authority there in a way that maybe it couldn't any other time. Wherever our leader was there the United States of America was. His kingdom is everywhere Jesus is. It's already among you. And for the saved, the kingdom of God is here. How can I say that? I can say that because we cannot be saved unless Christ is in us. In fact, the scripture says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, talking about when someone is saved, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. He will make his home in your hearts. So when Christ becomes your Lord and Savior, he takes up residence within you. It goes another step in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. He says, don't you realize? If he was from Louisiana, he would say, get this through your head. I know that because that's what my dad always told me. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? So the Holy Spirit, your body becomes the temple for. Now that word there, that templing, if you will, it means taking up residence or dwelling. Abiding. It means that's kind of where his headquarters is in your life, within you. And we know two things. The first thing we know is that when we're talking of Jesus, he only does what the Father tells him to do. He said it. I only do what the Father tells me to do. We know, secondly, that the Holy Spirit is God working in relationship with humanity. Every time you see God working through in relationship with humanity outside of the visible image of Jesus Christ, you see the Holy Spirit at work. And so what you have, the kingdom of God, we said we define kingdom as the range of God's effective will or the sphere of his power and authority effectively working. So when you were saved, the God's effective will became real in your life because Christ began to dwell within you. The Holy Spirit was templing within you. That means your life came under the auspices or authority of the Father's effective will. Because the one living in you, Jesus, only does what the Father would say. Because the one dwelling within you, the Holy Spirit, is God working in relationship with humanity. So your life became a place in which the Father's effective will was working. Thus, the kingdom is here in your life. Praise God. And that brings us to thought number two. That the kingdom of God has physical space on earth. We said that the kingdom of God is not discernible by what you can see. It's spiritual in nature. But it does have physical space on earth. We read that Christ is at home in our hearts. We see that the Holy Spirit dwells in our bodies. And these are the known things, the physical things of our lives. You know me because you see my physicality. If my spirit were to show up at your house at some point, number one, I've got a problem. Number two, maybe you do too. I don't know. But but you may not recognize it as easily as if I just showed up and said, hey, and knocked on your door and you recognized my face. That may be a little less disconcerting. So Paul is writing about the physical, knowable part of man. In fact, the word heart there, the Holy Spirit, Christ dwells in your heart, is literally the Greek word cardia, where we get the word cardiac from. The word he uses for body is the Greek word soma. It means literally the body. So he is saying that the unknowable, wondrous kingdom of God dwells within, is connected to the knowable physical reality of your life and mine through faith. And that makes sense because we've been learning over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the fact that faith links something specific and yet somewhat unknowable with something that is known. It connects the two. So in you and in me, the knowable part of us is connected to the unknowable reality of heaven through faith. So when praying to the Father, Jesus says this in John chapter 17. He says, I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. Now notice, he does not say, I want you to keep them safe from the kingdoms of the world. I want you to keep them safe from their neighbor. I want you to keep them safe from the bad guy down the street. He says, I want you to keep them safe from the evil one, from the one who rules in the domain of darkness. Keep them safe from the domain of darkness. Verse 16, they don't belong to this world any more than I do. Now, wouldn't it be nice if when Jesus saved you, he automatically took you to heaven? Okay, I think it would be nice if when Jesus saved me, automatically I went to heaven. Now, I have one logistical issue with this, and that is that my parents were saved before I was born. I was saved. The first time I ever asked Christ to be part of my life was when I was 5 years old. So if the Lord took me to heaven the minute I asked him to be my Savior, then supposing my parents were not saved, therefore still here, then it would have been disconcerting for them because suddenly their five-year-old would have been gone. These are all difficult situations. So when God saves us, He says, you don't belong to the world anymore, but He also doesn't take us out of the world right away. So God's ultimate goal was not just to get you to heaven, but to get heaven to earth. Yes, heaven will be our home, and yes, ultimately we're saved, and yes, ultimately that is the eternal reward, but there's a job to do before the reward arrives. He saved you and He saved me in order for His kingdom to progress here on this earth. And how does His kingdom progress here on this earth? It expands as those who are connected to heaven themselves expand. That means souls get saved. That means people turn their lives over to Jesus. That means that the church of Jesus Christ continues to expand and continues to grow. People have asked me, Pastor, why do we want to have a bigger church? Do you just want a bigger church? Is that why we're, you know, buying land and expanding and so on and so forth? And that is isn't, you know, this size of a church enough for you? Well, for me personally, sure. Because quite honest with you, the bigger the church gets, the more difficult it is to work with because we have problems in this church. I know that because you're here. And I'm here too. I'm also here. We've all got problems. We have all got problems. A phrase that I've used recently, and if you're a guest here today, forgive me for this, but this is, people have been repeating it back to me. What I say is we're all jacked up. It's the reality of life. We all have our issues that we're working through. And so if the issue is just expand the church, that's not a big enough goal. That's not a big enough mentality. The issue is expanding the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of darkness and the kingdoms of this world, they do everything they can to push down the kingdom of God and to subdue it. We've seen that in our own country. We've seen prayer taken out of school. We've seen people trying to push our government further and further away from the things of God and keep God from having any influence whatsoever in what our government does. Now, that's in our own country. We see other countries where that's even already the case on a more prominent level. For instance, China right now. China right now is persecuting Christians on a fairly large scale. They're closing down churches and locking doors, and anybody that violates their rule on entering that church or practicing their faith in that manner, they are imprisoning them, and many have even died. And yet statisticians tell us that it's possible that one of the largest church bodies in the world exists in China. A country who has for generations subdued Christianity. And yet, potentially, they have more Christians in China than any other place on earth. And you might say, well, that's just because they have such a large population. And that is true. But the government's doing everything they can to control the population, and they've done pretty well. But they haven't been able to stop the church. And why is that? Because they can't shut him out of things beyond their control. And the only thing beyond the control of the domain of darkness and the kingdoms of this world is the heart of a man or a woman. The heart of humanity is beyond the control of the kingdoms of this world and the kingdoms of darkness. So standing in the middle of the devil's playground, in the center of a worldly kingdom, denying God, one person can cry out to the Father, receive the Son, and be filled with the Holy Spirit, and suddenly heaven has a foothold on earth. Praise God. That's the importance of expanding the kingdom of God. Because every single time someone is saved, every single time someone connects their body to the heavens, to our Heavenly Father in salvation, the kingdom of God expands. The kingdom of God expands. The effective will of God expands again and again. And it's His will that the kingdom of God come to heaven as it is to earth, as it is in heaven. That's why He prays this prayer. The physical space of God's kingdom is in you, in me. That's why across denominational lines, in every form of Christianity of which I'm aware, when someone is saved, it is agreed that they become part of the kingdom of God. Because the believer is the physical space as the Father's effective will is expanded on earth. He calls us his ambassadors. And we are in the embassy of God. And no matter where you live on this earth, if the United States has an embassy there, the kind of cool thing is, the minute you step across the line onto the embassy property, you are standing on sovereign U.S. soil. And that doesn't mean much to most of us who live on sovereign U.S. soil predominantly. But when you're someplace else, it's nice to know that I can be driving along. Something can go completely crazy in this place that I'm living. Something that doesn't normally happen or what have you. And I can step across that line and suddenly all the weight and power of the United States becomes real in that place. But there's a tension that we live within. And that brings us to thought number three. The tension is that you are a citizen of heaven and a resident of earth. A citizen of heaven and a resident on earth. And we're saying, well, wait a minute. How am I a citizen in heaven whenever I'm here? I know Jesus said that, you know, they don't belong to this world any more than I do. And, you know, my spouse has been telling me that for years. I'm an alien, you know, something's wrong with you. But how is that real? And this is how it's real. This is what Scripture says happens when you and I submit our will to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So the way we think about it usually is that when I was saved, I became a better person. But that is not true. When you were saved, who you were was not made better. It was destroyed. And you were born again by God. You were a new creation, one not of this world. Your source for your original man was of earth, earthy. But your progenitor, your father for your second man was the Lord of heaven. And it works kind of like this. My brother Dawson is 5 years younger than me. And when he was born, my parents were missionaries in the Philippines. And so we're in the Philippines and my mother has a baby. For 3 days, that baby did not have a name. He was just called Baby. I still call him the one that shall not be named. I don't really, that's just funny. So when he was born, they asked my mom a question that they did not ask any of the Filipino ladies that were having the babies in the same hospital at the same time. They said, do you want your son to be a resident of the Philippines or a resident of the United States? And my mother said, my father said, he needs to be a resident of the United States. So the moment he was born, that tiny baby represented the strength, the wealth, and the weight of a nation. The reason he could be born a citizen of the United States is because his parents were citizens of the United States. They were residents of the Philippines, but they were citizens of the United States. So Dawson ended up being a resident of the Philippines while a citizen of the United States. He had rights, liberties, and privileges that all of the Filipino people around him did not happen. If he was in trouble, the military of his citizenship would come to his rescue. a resident of the Philippines, but a citizen of a place he had never seen. And heaven is no different. You live here on earth, and maybe you've never been to heaven, but you are born again, and heaven is where your daddy is from. And if you choose, he's saying, when you choose me, you get to become a citizen of heaven. It is a birthright and a privilege of one who is a child of God to be a citizen of heaven. Dawson, my brother, spoke a language not native to his place of residency. He ate food not native to his place of residency. He knew facts about a place that he had never been and not native to his place of residency. And heaven is the same way. When we are Christians, we are moving forward. We learn to speak heaven's language. We learn to eat heaven's food. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. We drink heaven's water. The Holy Spirit is the heaven's water working in us and through us, the scripture says. We learn to communicate with heaven's sovereign king. We live by the principles of heaven. We operate by the laws of heaven. And we adopt heaven's culture. Why? Because we are residents of earth, but we are citizens of heaven. As Christians, I want us to understand that we are not victims trying to survive in a harsh world. When writing about Jesus, the Word made flesh, John describes him as the light. And then he says in John 1:5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The light shone into the darkness. The darkness did not sit idle and say, yeah, whatever, come on in. The darkness has been fighting the light since the beginning and yet has never won. The domain of darkness or the kingdoms of this world could not and cannot stand against the kingdom of God. They're much like the Botswanan army when Air Force One was in the airspace. It had the ability to defend itself. But when the United States came in, they said, no. We're going to assert our power and dominance over this situation. I wonder how many people in this room right now, you're dealing with a problem in your life because the kingdoms of the world, the domain of darkness, has authority and power, and you have never exercised the authority and power that you have in Christ. Heaven can assert itself into your life in a way that maybe you've not allowed, maybe you've not ever known. Next week, I'm going to talk about how heaven interacts with earth. But right now, you need to know, I need to know, we are vessels of God. We are ambassadors of Christ. We are an embassy of the kingdom of God. The kingdom is where Jesus is, and you are the physical temple in which Jesus lives. You are a citizen of heaven, and that brings two things to my mind. The first is our citizenship makes believers the most powerful force in the world. We are not victims. We are the most powerful force in the world because there is not a power in the domain of darkness or in the kingdoms of this world that can stand against the kingdom of God. Not one. And secondly, only those who have allowed heaven to invade their lives can invoke the will of the Father. That's you, that's me. It's his kingdom, but it's your choice. Will you invoke the will of the Father in your life? You have the privilege of praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, right here, right now, right where I'm standing, as it is in heaven. Why do you have that privilege? Because it's sovereign heaven territory right here. And the enemy can't do anything about that because he has no authority over your heart. You are the boss of you. Praise God. But why would it be important to pray? And this is my last scripture for today. Why should we pray that? Because this is what scripture says in James 5. The prayer of a righteous person, one with the effective will of the Father working in their life, has great power as it is working. You're not like anybody else. You're trying to fit into a world in which you do not belong. And if heaven is, it's like me trying to pass myself off as Filipino. When I'd walk on an airplane, not one Filipino person thought that I was Filipino. Not one. Maybe Scandinavian, but never Filipino. You are a child of God, a citizen of heaven. Stop trying to live like you're part of the kingdoms of this world or under the domain of darkness, unless you choose to be. Man, I feel the Holy Spirit very strong in this house right now. Band, come on. Singers, come on. Which kingdom do you choose? They're gonna sing this song, and this song utilizes the word amen. And the word amen means so be it. It means let it be done. I'm in agreement with what you've said. And so as we think about the words of the song that they're singing, and as we think about what we've just heard from Scripture, I'm gonna encourage you, if you agree with what has said, I'm gonna encourage you to shout out amen. Sing it out as it is sung in this song, and engage with it, because the Holy Spirit's doing something in our lives. But today we're talking your personal connection to the kingdom of God. It's there, it's strong, it's real. You've got to own it. So Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for your people. Give us the courage to choose your kingdom, to step into the authority that you've allowed us, that you've granted us, that is our birthright as children of God. I'm asking you, Savior, to do what only you can do in your people. People, families are struggling. People are dealing with situations. But it's not all from a negative place to a strong place. There are some people here who are looking to step into their next and from going from strength to strength. And they need your power and wisdom. I'm asking you to deliver those who need deliverance and to save those who need saving. And I pray, Lord God, that you would move in the heart of humanity and allow us to expand your kingdom. Your will be done. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Oh, I give you thanks and praise for that in Jesus' name. And if you agree with my prayer, why don't you just say amen.